So turning to the third area, 10 principles for effective karma management, we'll review first two principles, and then go on to principles 3 and 4. So first principle is forego retaliation. So the opposite of that, I have a quote for that to start, and then a quote for the right approach. Revenge lasts for only a day, but oh, what a day. That's the wrong approach. Revenge lasts for only a day, but oh, what a day. So that's not in the Tirukkural. The Tirukkural says the right thing. It says, the joy of the vengeful lasts for only a day, but the glory of the forbearing lasts until the end of time. So that's the correct approach. It also says, worthless are those who injure others vengefully, but those who stoically endure are like stored gold. So it's encouraging everyone to, you know, forego retaliation. So it's an interesting principle. It can be broadened out into a variety of situations. And one of Gurudeva's teachings is that at this time on the planet, any worthwhile endeavor has opposition. It's just the nature. You try and do something good, somebody will oppose it. You try and do something great, somebody will oppose it even more. So to expect that kind of opposition was Gurudeva's wisdom. Not to not expect it. Some people don't expect it, and therefore they're disappointed, they're discouraged when they reach that kind of obstacle. They say, oh, so many people are against me. This is terrible. Well, Gurudeva would say, well, so many people are against me, I must be doing something really good. He would turn it around. He would expect the obstacle, and when he encountered it, it would measure the worth of what he was doing. But this principle applies into how to handle opposition. For example, when we first started publishing our magazine, Hinduism Today, on a broad scale, it was receiving recognition as a vehicle for uniting Hindus worldwide. And so we got some opposition from the VHP, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad. They were concerned because they wanted to be the only umbrella global Hindu organization. That's their goal, Vishwa Hindu Parishad. So they thought that we had similar ambitions. And so, you know, they would criticize Hinduism Today, and of course, we were all CIA, which was quite a compliment. Funded by the government, we had this vast budget, which is also a compliment. So, you know, must be a good publication for them to think the whole government's funding it. So it was a very interesting time, and of course we're on good relations now. It didn't last because they realized that that wasn't our goal. You know, we don't want to be a global Hindu organization. We just want to be a magazine. That's all we want to be. We're not trying to be global umbrella Hindu organization. So they didn't feel we were competing after a while. But initially they did, and so Gurudeva's approach, which relates to this idea of foregoing retaliation, is what he called the friendly firm wall. So in a situation where a group is opposing you, you have certain rules. You don't initiate contact with them. If they initiate contact with you, friendly firm wall means you say smile, you smile, you say, oh yes, thank you, and then you promptly forget about whatever they've said. So you do that enough times, what does it do? It creates a wall. It creates a distance between you and the other group. Whereas if you interact with them, either on your own initiative or responding to what they say, you start to tangle the two groups up. But if you keep the wall up, friendly, firm wall, what happens? Well, their antagonistic actions hit the wall, and what happens? They bounce back on themselves, right? And it doesn't hit you because you haven't tied yourself together. So eventually the karma of what they're doing comes back on them. And then it finally works itself out. So it shows this principle how it could be used in business or life or number of situations, governments. It's not just a principle which relates to one person. It can be applied to a number of different situations quite effectively. So our second review is accept responsibility. It's the second principle. So we'll start with a Kural quote. Yesterday we were doing Gurudeva quotes. Today it's the Kural. Why should those who rejoice when destiny brings them good moan when that same destiny decrees misfortune? Definitely happens, right? Everybody's happy when their karma brings them something good. Everybody's sad when it brings them something difficult. A spiritual person might look at it the opposite way because he knows he unfolds more when he's facing difficulty. But that's not normal human nature. So it's just human nature. That's the answer. When we face difficulties, we tend to get discouraged. We get externalized. We react emotionally. We don't act wisely. It's human nature to go through that because we've hit something we haven't expected. Whereas what we need to do is to remain centered and act from wisdom. So that's the goal, of course, in experiencing difficulties and applying Gurudeva's teachings to that situation. If we can remain centered, then we can act with wisdom. But that takes practice. But of course, that's the goal. And we have to understand the goal intellectually first before we can apply it. So when we look at things that way, in the midst of difficulties, we can hang on to this important principle that everything that happens to me is my own creation. The only person I can praise and the only person I can blame for whatever happens to me is me. Even though what happens to me comes through other people, they're simply the instrument to return my karma to me. They're not the creator of the action. I'm the creator of the action. So that's accept responsibility. Moving on, we have a new principle, the third principle, forgive the offender. So we have a story. This one is a teenage youth in Singapore who occasionally would send in these dilemmas, love to come up with a dilemma. You know, this is happening to me in life, and this is happening, and I want to do this, I want to do that, and how does this apply to that, and that apply to this, and so forth. Very good at making everything very complex, ending up in a quandary. So his problem was he wasn't being treated fair at school. A number of the boys in the class were always teasing him and giving him a bad time. So he was able to apply the first two principles. He was able to forego retaliation. He didn't tease them back. He didn't hit them. Didn't do anything in return. So that was good. Second one, he was able to understand intellectually, well, this is happening to me, therefore it's my karma. So he accepted responsibility. You know, this was even without reading these principles. It was just how he was looking at it. But he was still upset with them. Now, he really wanted to hit them back, but he knew he shouldn't. And he really thought about it a lot. He was just bothered about it. That, gee, these boys are treating me this way. They shouldn't, you know, maybe their karma will come back on them or something, you know, will happen here. Because really it's unfair, but I know I should do this and that. So he was in this state, common state. So what's the problem? He'd followed the first principle. He'd followed the second principle. He needs the third principle. Forgive the offender. He hadn't forgiven the offender. He wanted them to suffer. He kept thinking about it. It was bothering him. It was making him angry. He would hold on to it for years. Some people hold on to these things for lifetimes. I mean, one lifetime. Fortunately, you forget. Hold on to them for a lifetime. Some people delight in holding on to things for a lifetime. It is their life. But in this case, we're trying to get rid of it. So we need to forgive the offender. Actually, not feel bad that they did it to us. So there's a wonderful story that Gurudev used all the time. Many of you have heard it about Swami Shivananda. It illustrates this point so beautifully. So Swami Shivananda, of course, had an ashram in Rishikesh. That was his main ashram and daily satsang. And at one evening satsang, a man came up behind him with an axe, trying to seriously injure him. But he hit him with an axe and only slightly injured him. And then, of course, the devotees there jumped on the man and subdued him quickly. So, what was Swami's reaction? Was he angry at the man? Did he tell his devotees to punish the man? What did he do? No. The next day, he gave the man some books, gave the man a train ticket to get home, gave him some money, and most importantly said, "Thank you so much for bringing this karma to me. Now I am free from it." Isn't that an interesting perspective? He didn't blame the man. He didn't even need to forgive the man because he was so wise in the first place. But he held no ill will toward the man at all. In fact, he was grateful that the man had brought this karma back to him and gotten rid of it. Maybe that was his last karma in this life. Maybe then he could attain moksha because the karma had been gotten rid of. So what a wise way of looking at someone doing something to you. So, though we may not muster up that much wisdom, at least we know we should forgive the offender and not continue to harbor ill feelings that they did it to us. Because really, we did it to ourselves. That's the best way to look at it. Our fourth principle is consider the consequences. So it's the same idea as think before speaking, think before acting. You know, consider the consequences, but in this case, not the practical consequences, but the karmic consequences. So we want to train ourselves before we speak or act to think about the karmic consequences of what we're about to do. Do we want to create that karma? Or are we simply acting through emotion? Are we reacting to what someone else did without thought? Unfortunately, you know, that's what happens sometimes. Someone insults us, so without thinking, we insult them back. You know, it's like a dog barking. There's a sound, a dog barks. Someone insults us, we insult them back. It's a habit. So if we have those habits, we want to work ourselves out of them. But in any case, we want to think about the karmic consequences before we act. So, again, this relates to child raising. It's something we can instill in a person when they're a child, to think this way. First, it's just not the karmic consequences, but the consequences. If you do something, what's going to happen? So there's an interesting example on that principle that happened about a year ago that came up on the news. It's in Australia. There was a fire caused deliberately by some teenagers. And the fire caused damage. It damaged homes as well as it burned people. So, you know, the approach they took wasn't simply to blame the kids and put them in juvenile detention or whatever. No, they took them to the hospital where the people who had been burned were hospitalized. So they had to go and visit the people in their rooms to see what the fire had caused, to see the actual damage the fire had caused to people. It had hurt people. And what they had done to have fun had actually hurt people in a serious way. So they were exposing them. You know, they were old enough, wasn't going to get shocked or anything. They were teenagers. Old enough to see the consequences of that act.